I think it's good.
Hey.
What's up, man? Should we record
it? I turned it on.
Oh, well, why didn't you tell me that?
Wait, like, it's okay. We got to act like natural and shit.
Well, now I'm embarrassed.
No, it's okay. I can always edit. Soapbox Heroes.
Soapbox Heroes.
Hey, so welcome to the first ever episode of Soapbox Heroes. Welcome. My name is Brian. You may know me from other podcasts that I have been a part of, including Ice Cream Headache, the podcast, which ran from 2011 until this year. And then Your Favorite Movie Sucks with Comic Ron on Hirschberg. And by doing Ice Cream Headache, I met a lot of cool fucking dudes in comics. And when looking to do another project, I called my new buddy Matt Mulchin, who is quite the star in his own right.
Thanks, man.
Give us your own creds. I did, like, we really should have worked this out to where you were doing my cred and I was doing your cred.
Yeah, that would have been better, right?
But now I'm just going to make you talk about yourself.
Like a narcissistic asshole.
Yeah, he's toured the world doing comedy.
I have. I've done a lot of, I do a lot of work for Just for Laughs.
Do you prefer stand-up comic or comedian?
I think they're...
Or stand-up?
I think they're all synonymous, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but is there one that feels cooler?
Comic. Yeah.
It seems cooler than comedian. Comedian seems a little outdated.
But no, I mean, it's not, I mean, when you refer to it as, oh, I'm a comedian, but, or you're like, but, you know, he's a comic. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's different.
Is it weird, like, do you refer, when you say, when people ask you what you do?
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
I tell them I work in entertainment.
Yeah, right. I knew you didn't say comedian.
No. I'm not going to say it. Well, eventually they'll be like, oh, what do you do in entertainment? And it's, as soon as you tell them you're a comic,
hey, tell me something funny.
Yeah, you got a joke? Can you tell me a joke?
God, no. Why do people think that's okay to ask?
I don't know. It's stupid, right? It's like, I don't...
That's like if you met someone and you were like, hey, what do you do? And they were like, I'm a proctologist. And you just bent over.
Yeah. Excuse me. Is this rash okay? I'm like, asshole. Hey,
can you stick your hand up there? And, yeah.
I just don't get it. I mean, like, it is what it is. They're innocent with it, though. So I usually just tell them. Because sometimes it comes off as pretentious. And I'm not a pretentious dude.
Well, it's always weird because... It's like this weird modesty you have when you work in entertainment. Because I have a big background in radio and working with a lot, working closely with comics and musicians and bands, right, and music festivals and that kind of stuff. So, like,
now who's the narcissist?
People would always say, people would always say, like, oh, that sounds like a really cool job. So there was like this weird modesty that I had because I didn't want to sound pretentious. Like, that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, I just don't know. I'm very proud to be a comic. Like, I've worked years at this.
He's
at
a legit
craft.
Well, you know, and the problem too is, like, when I tell people, I'll be like, when I used to talk about doing the show with Ron on or doing this show, I'll be like, yeah, no, he's like really a comic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
not,
yeah.
Like, he doesn't just actually call himself a comic. Like, you
right.
know, like, everybody knows a guy that's like, I've been doing stand-up at the coffee house for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, that, he's not that guy. He's an actual paid,
right,
professional stand-up comic.
Like, they always give me, oh, what do you do for your day job? I'm like, well, usually I watch baseball at about noon.
Right, right.
Catch
so
whatever day so game's on.
Here's the fun thing that we've been joking about is at the onset of this podcast, and I'm sure this will change, but at the onset of this podcast, I am currently unemployed, and you are a full-time stand-up comic.
Right.
So the joke is, can you tell us apart by our daily schedules? Because it's pretty similar.
Because I'm married, and my wife works in medicine, so
I'm married, and my wife is an executive director of an organization, and we married up.
We definitely lucked out.
It's very nice, and you'll probably hear us refer to that as an ongoing thing between us now. But so the premise of the show, I called Matt and I said, let's do a show together, man. I'm looking to start a new project and let's do something fun. And so we sat down and really thought about what we enjoy listening to.
That's
and
right.
the fun things we, you know, when you did Ice Cream Headache, the stuff that we had fun doing together. And so we think we've sculpted something that will, we've got like the basic formatics.
Yes.
And then it's going to evolve over time as kind of a goofball show that we're calling,
yes,
Soapbox Heroes, meaning that sometimes we're going to be on soapboxes.
But all the time we're heroes.
But all the time we're heroes. That is our now unofficial tagline. Maybe official tagline. Sometimes we're on the soapbox, but we're always heroes.
Always heroes.
Boom. I can see the t-shirts.
Yeah. Dude, you just get out of my head. Seriously, get out of my head.
So how this is going to work is it's going to involve friends.
Yes.
We already have we have celebrity and non-celebrity friends, hopefully, that will show up from time to time.
They'll show up.
People that we know in common. We realize we had some mutual friends, so sometimes they'll be on. You're introducing me to folks. There will be characters of sorts. There will be bits.
Yes.
It should just be a really fun time. The idea here is just to have fun.
It's going to have a fun time. We're going to talk jokes. We're going to talk seriousness. We're going to talk about whatever, man.
And then I'll get to go back and edit it and make it sound fucking cool like this right now. Like right now, I'm gonna hit a button, and I'm gonna pretend like this. Yes. We're gonna go right into our first segment. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
After this point, there's no turning back. We've officially started Soapbox Heroes Episode 1. You ready?
Do you have canned laughter?
I can put some in later.
Okay. Can we get an applause sign?
Right. Okay. Studio? Here's. An ongoing segment on the show is something we call Road Dog Trivia. Now, what is that, you ask? Matt is a stand-up comic who sometimes referred to as a road dog comic,
yeah, that's
right?
A general term.
It just means you tour a lot.
Yeah, you
right,
tour.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to ask you questions that I've maybe felt uncomfortable asking other comics, or things that I've just always wondered, or just things I like to know from guys that are on the road all the time.
Uh-oh.
And so that's why we created this segment.
Yes.
So the question we'll do today is, Matt, I want to know about the grossest hotel/motel room you've ever stayed in.
There are these things that, that's so funny. There are these things that, okay, not everybody pays your way. Like, I just did Just for Laughs comedy tour in Canada. We went there for a month and a half, and it was fantastic, right? Like, they paid for everything. We were in these ultra swank hotels, like, everything was just great, right? And it goes from one extreme to the other. You either have like these most awesomest accommodations, or you have the shit of the shit that's on the bottom of your shoe that's got
right.
shit on it.
Right.
Like it's terrible. Like, I mean, and they're called comedy condos, right? So, it's disgusting.
I hear of these. These are like urban myth legends.
No, they're real, yo. And they're gross. Like, I was in, let's say, one of the New England states.
Okay. Do we need to, like, is there a bit of anonymity we need to keep with these clubs so you can continue to work there?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, yeah, because I'm pretty much going to trash a couple of these.
All right. We'll keep it anonymous. Like, so you were in the New England area.
Well, I was in the New England.
Upper United States on the right side, if you're looking at it.
That's correct.
Friends at home.
And they wouldn't put me in. I was with Jeremy Hotz this week, right? And Jeremy and I, we check in, we get our flight, we go to the hotel. They pick us up in a limo, right? And I'm like, oh, this is great. And then we go to the hotel, and it's a Marriott. It's a nice Marriott. And Jeremy gets out, and I get out, and the driver goes, oh, no, you're at the condo.
Oh, you're at the condo, but Jeremy gets to stay at the Marriott.
Right. I'm like, oh, man, really? The condo?
I like that the driver had to be the guy tell you that.
No, and it
like,
happens all the time,
they didn't,
right?
The booker didn't tell you that?
No, you kidding me? They don't ever tell you that because you're not going to go. You know what I mean?
Oh, fuck.
So I get into this, and it's literally a condo, right? And it is in this like apartment building with a bunch of, like, I don't know, exchange students. I don't know.
And to set this up for people that may not grasp what you're saying, this is used every week to house different people. So, much like a hotel room, you may not respect it because you're not going to be there long.
That's
but
correct.
Unlike a hotel room, it does not come with a maid staff.
Yeah, and it I walked in and it immediately smelled like a meth lab. Like, it was just disgusting.
Do you think there was actually meth?
I don't know. Maybe.
Brew meth, right? You like just cook it.
I don't know. I've never cooked it. Thanks for
don't act like you got you got quickly defensive about that. No, I've never done it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, I've only ever smoked weed and a lot of it, but. No, I walk in and it's just filthy. I mean, like, it's gross and it smells like a meth lab. But
back to this, I just think that's a weird thing to say. Like, have you been in a meth lab?
No, I don't know what it smells like, but it was that bad. So I'm assuming.
I mean, not to ruin your colorful language. I just want to make sure, like, if you really have been in a meth lab, that seems like the more interesting story.
It could have smelled like a bunch of rat shit for all I know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, is there something that you had experienced that you would say, like, it was as bad as being inside a dumpster?
It was as bad as being, as bad as being like in a festival dumpster.
A frat house bathroom?
Like, I lived in a frat house and it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
Like, it was like a festival was going on all weekend and like people throw all their garbage.
Like Coachella or Burning Man?
It was like Coachella after 2 weeks of Coachella. And then they forget to clean up Coachella and they leave it for Stagecoach for another week. And then that's as bad as the dumpster.
Okay, okay.
Right? It's disgusting. I'll tell you another one, too, that's even worse. But And I called Jeremy. I'm like, Jeremy, you gotta come over here. This is disgusting. And he goes, what? And I mean, the couches, there's stains all over the couches. And like, I went to the TV. I opened a drawer, and there's nothing but like smut mags and like VHS.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all VHS pornos.
Wow. Like, it's so they clearly hadn't updated this place since 1987.
Right.
So,
because they don't care. That's the thing. They look at it. It's like, well, they're just comics. So they have like somebody come in, change the sheets, maybe. And fix the bed,
so,
and there you go.
It's funny that you say that. They're just comics. Because there are, I think, two perceptions of comedy just depending on the type of person you are. You either think of comics as cool, like kind of like rock stars, or you
right.
think of them as clowns.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you can probably read pretty quickly when you walk into a social situation whether you're the clown or the rock star.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think when you especially when you hit social situations as a comic, they immediately expect you to like when they find out you're a comic, they immediately expect you to tell them a joke or take over the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm not working. I don't want to work. Can I just get a beer?
Yeah.
Like, is that okay? You
yeah.
know what I mean? And so, I mean, and that's kind of the way, like, the clubs, first of all, a lot of clubs treat comics like shit. Like, it's not a grand world, man. It stinks. Like, you got to fight for your money sometimes, and sometimes the check bounces, and then good luck trying to track them down to try and get your money. You know, like, some of the, all the big name clubs are pretty legit, like the improvs and things like that. It's some of the smaller rooms that you work to, you know, work out stuff or just do time or just do work. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I mean, I've gotten paid. I've worked rooms that are totally run by the mob, and I've gotten paid in, like, you know, like bags of cash, which is my favorite.
We're going to talk more about that on another
yeah.
edition of
I know.
Road Dogg Trivia.
I know, right? It was pretty bad.
So, but you're saying that condo is the nastiest place
no,
you've
ever
been
forced to stay. One is the one in Ohio.
Okay.
It's literally so bad that when the lights go out, you can hear the roaches like go across your.
No,
oh, it's disgusting. Dude.
Like when people say that, I always think they're exaggerating.
Bro, I slept in my clothes because I was on top of the sheet because I was too afraid to even. I didn't know. I was like, this is disgusting. And at the time, I had no money. Like I'm.
I was gonna say, is there a certain point where you're just like, oh, fucking a Super 8 has to be better than this?
Well, yeah. I mean, there are some points, yeah. But then you got to realize that well, Super 8 for four nights is going to cost you, and so now you're just coming out with what $100 or $200 for the week. I can't live on that.
Right.
So you buck up and you stay there. You know, I mean, and it was gross. Do you want to hear a really good story? There was a, we were at a club and, we were outside smoking. It was after the Sunday show and we're outside smoking a cigar and this is no joke. And, we see this car that's just chilling there with its like running lights on. And all of a sudden this other car pulls up to me. Right. And his window goes down and he goes, Ruski. I'm like, no. And he's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm not Russian. I'm not. And he goes, okay. Lifts this thing up and takes off, right? And my buddy looks at me. He goes, like, we got to get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. You got this guy in a Lincoln and a Cadillac. Like, shit, the guys are just standing up there with their running lights on. So we kind of just leave, right? This is a true story, 100%. Mm-hmm. It's in the papers and everything. And, you know, we ended up going getting something to eat. I take him back to the hotel, and I go back to the condo. Now, when I get back to the condo, it's probably like 11, 12 at night. And I got to go to the airport at like 5 in the morning to take my friend because at the time I was living in Pittsburgh. So I was just going to drive back. Yeah, because it was only, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours or whatever. So we get there, and in the morning, I barely even sleep, right? I just pack all my stuff up, and I only got a carry-on in my backpack. And I go to the elevator, and this is a true story. I hit the elevator, the doors open, and there's blood. I'm telling you,
Whoa! Dude,
it was everywhere on the
what?
Floor. Yo, this is a true story. There was a handprint on the wall. Like,
oh,
I was
shit.
Like,
okay, pause. In that situation, does your mind immediately know it's blood, or do for a second you try to be like, oh shit, ketchup? Like,
no, dude.
It,
no.
It kicks in.
Yeah,
like, you're
know,
like, oh,
I've
my God,
never
that's
seen
blood.
A crime scene, but.
Right, because you think that, but, like,
right.
I would figure they would look a little different than on TV. So I wonder if your initial reaction is, oh, my God, this is a crime scene.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know what happened.
But you knew it was blood.
Yeah, of course. It's red, and it's thick, and it's, you know, starting to congeal. And I don't know if it's gray matter. I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't know what it is. Now I'm freaking out, right? So now I'm just like, oh, Jesus, God, what am I going to do?
Well, take the stairs, obviously.
I take the stairs. I run down to the stairs, right? And I'm just like, get me out of here. Now my heart's like going a mile a minute. Well, I go to hit the exit door, the emergency exit, and it won't open. I'm kicking the door. It's not opening. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, so now I'm fucked. So now I got to do something, right? So the exit door, I had to go back up one more floor, and then I had to get in the elevator. Now, I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to get out of here? Now I'm thinking, if this is a crime scene,
you're standing in
it. I don't want blood. I'm a germaphobe, so I'm like, oh, God, I don't want
blood. Dude, forget germaphobe. you're literally standing in a crime scene. Your footprints are going to be crime scene.
So what I did was I straddled the thing, right? So I'm sitting there. I'm holding my bag. I got a backpack.
You straddled what thing?
The pool of blood that was there. So my feet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I run out, and the door opens on the first floor. I go out, and there's a trail of blood that was leading to the elevator.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then I go to the front door, and there's hair. It's broken. The front door is broken, the glass. And it's one of those – remember in, like, high school and elementary school, you had those glass with the chicken wire behind it?
So, yes.
Yeah, that's what this glass was. And there's an indention because it doesn't break all the way, right? It's just kind of spider webs. And there's an indention. There's some dude's hair sticking out of it.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
How did you get out of this fucking nightmare?
Something went down. So I swear
to God, if you just end this story with, and then I woke up, I will punch you in the face.
No, this is a true story. And then I was like, so I'm freaking out. So I don't know what to do. So I mean, instinct kicks in, right? I kick the door open with my foot. I kick the other door, and I just run out there. And then I get in the car, and I tell my friend this really weird story. And he was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, yeah. Turns out the very next day in the papers, there was a mob hit that went bad. And
what?
It got moved into the condos that I was staying in.
What?
Yeah.
So the mob just showed up and plowed somebody down in the elevator and dragged them out or something?
I have no idea. But that was the thing in the newspaper the next day. I have the article. It was some dude got – I don't know if he died. I don't know what. I don't know what happened. I don't remember.
Oh,
exactly.
My God. It's not going to get better than that. Blew your best story on the first time we did Road Dog Trivia.
Well, edit it. Erase it. I'll tell it again. I have my own curiosity.
It's that time of the show where we welcome back our friend Douchebag Chad to educate me on sports. It's
DBC.
What's up, Chad? Fuckers?
All right, so is Tim Tebow still praying? I saw his name on the internet the other day, and I thought he just became a pastor or something. Is he still playing? Is he a relevant name here? I need some education on this.
He now have become a relevant name once again.
Because apparently God's favorite team is the fucking Mets. I don't know. I mean, they're the only... I can't tell... I'm not sure...
I think God is the only Mets fan.
I'm not sure if God's favorite team is the Mets or the Mets draft or picked up Tebow to labor for some fucking support from above.
Wait,
because
second,
that's the only way that they're going to win the World Series.
I'm really confused. Wait a second. Tim Tebow,
right.
I thought played football.
He did.
So did we.
Yeah, I know, right?
So wait a second. Tim Tebow fucking plays baseball?
He does play baseball.
He does now.
Holy shit! What is happening?
Yeah.
Well, apparently...
Okay, hold on. Yeah. I have a relevant way to comprehend this.
Do you know
Bo Jackson?
Sure, but...
Not nearly as athletic.
Like, a white one who's never going to play professionally, Bo Jackson. That's what he would
so
be.
By the way, Bo Jackson is arguably one of the best players ever to play.
Ever.
Is Bo Jackson Jr. playing... or Michael Jordan did this, right?
He did. Yeah. He tried to.
Yeah, Jordan couldn't do shit in minor league baseball.
Bo's better because, you know, he's got football and baseball.
Yeah, but
Bo was just a beast of an athlete. I mean, he was a...
I totally forgot about these crossover athletes. There hasn't been that many.
Only two really good baseball football. That's Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson.
Primetime.
And Deion Sanders did it for
Deion
a long time.
Deion Sanders.
Primetime.
I forgot about him, too.
Just mentioning fucking Tim Tebow in the same cast as these two is making
me done
sick.
With – this is such a helpful segment. I'm so glad we have this. It's going to make me so much better at talking to other guys.
And now you're like in a social situation.
I know. I'm going to have all this back knowledge. Okay, so Tim Tebow, I cannot get over that. He's going to play baseball. So is he going into the farm team?
Well, this is what happened, okay?
Okay.
apparently, first of all, the last time he's played baseball was at...
Does he still play football?
No. Okay. But he does broadcast for the SEC Network.
And he's terrible.
But the last time Tim Tebow played baseball was his junior year at Nice High School in Florida. Okay. Yes.
Ooh, Nice, Florida.
Oh, yeah, big baseball,
baseball town.
Big baseball town.
So, out of nowhere, because he decided, I mean, obviously somebody else has made this decision. Yes, I don't know if it was Tim Tebow or a publicist or somebody said, you know what, you're a good at, let's put on this dog and pony show. So they hyped this thing up for a couple weeks and said, we're going to unleash Tim Tebow in some fucking stadium in Arizona, and we're going to throw him live pitching and let you see that he can catch a ball, and somebody maybe will pick him up. And then, you know, God's favorite team, the Mets, said, we will sign you to a contract, oh, prophet Tebow. And what happened is now it's I don't even know what today is, but on the 19th of September, Tebow will actually be going into it's like a farm league, but it's almost like a practice.
It's like a grapefruit league, isn't
in
it?
A farm league.
Yeah,
grapefruit league.
It's like a Florida
fall baseball.
It just makes me think of my prostate.
Well, that's a different topic,
right? Holy shit! we just went from talking about an asshole to sticking our fingers in one. Oh my god. Jesus.
I almost did a spit take on this equipment that would not have been good.
How are you peeing, Chad? Good?
Very even flow.
Even flow.
No pain,
is
even
flow. Is that what this
flow.
Song was about?
It might have been. Maybe Eddie had a prostate problem.
And I mean, dear God, we don't know what any of the other lyrics are.
No,
prostate problem.
Yeah. He could be talking, you don't know. But yeah, so he's going to be in Port St. Lucie, Florida on the 19th. And you better believe I'll be there. So, because I really, because
I'm just going to be goating him the whole time.
Oh, I can't wait
You're
to
like,
see.
T-Mow!
I can't wait to see this fucking shit sink. I mean, there hasn't been a more doomed voyage than since the fucking Titanic. I mean, this dude is going to, and here's the thing. I've seen a lot of arguments from professional baseball players saying that, you know, and some of them saying, well, we supported it until we realized that he's also going to be missing about half the days a week so he can keep up with his SEC Network broadcast.
Okay, like, can I get on this?
Go ahead.
I fucking hate it when people decide to just randomly that you can be a broadcaster because you were like a
I'm right there with you.
You know what I mean? Well, it's the same thing like as a comic.
Yeah,
you're very irritated by people who were on The Office for two seasons and think that they're now stand-ups.
Oh yeah, trust me, I've dealt with those people. And you know what?
You're probably opening for those people and you've been doing it for 12 years.
I know, right? In fact, what really irritated me, there was a show one time, not to get off topic, but it's relevant. There was a show one time that Al Sharpton, oddly enough, was hosting.
Did you say Al Sharpton was hosting a comedy show?
No, he was hosting
a show. Oh, I just pictured him at the improv, like, you're not coming up.
Yeah. No, there was a show
This guy's fucking white.
Opening for Don King and Matt Mulchin. Please welcome Mr. Reverend Al Sharpton.
So, no, there was this thing that I think the show was called I'd Rather Do This or something like that. And they had Clint Black, for example, a country singer, right, who's made billions of dollars.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, and he wanted to be a stand-up. And he, you know, Al Sharpton takes him on his journey to be a stand-up, takes him in the clubs, gets him a writer, which is, it's all bullshit anyway. But anyway, he finally gets up on stage at like Caroline's or Gotham or something like that and eats his shit. And I couldn't have been more happy.
Eat shit.
To watch him just fall flat on his face.
Did you ever see the video of Adam West when he briefly tried to do stand-up?
No. Oh, God.
It's unbelievable. I found it on Hulu one time. You might just search for it. And he's hosting Live at Gotham. It was one of those shows.
Yeah.
And he actually hosts a whole episode.
It's terrible.
Oh, my God. It's like, did you ever work at the local comedy club when – in between the time that Tom owned it and Steve Hofstetter and those guys owned it?
I did a little bit of time there once. I didn't do it.
There's this guy named Daryl that ran it, and sometimes he would host. It was like watching Daryl host.
Jesus,
I'm not going to say anything about Daryl. Daryl's a nice guy. Daryl, if you're listening, we appreciate you listening, and please listen to another episode where I don't talk shit. But, yeah, that's what it was like.
Well, I guess it's kind of the same thing with Tebow. I get the – it's almost like don't disrespect my art. Like, I've worked this hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked this long for it.
It seems really fucking egomaniacal to walk into a place and be like, I do one sport, I can do another sport. Like whatever happened to just being good at one thing? I realize we live in the world of multitasking.
Yeah.
But, like – Shouldn't you just pick a sport?
If Tim Tebow was going to just be good at one thing, he'd still be playing college football.
If he was going to be good at just one thing.
He wasn't going to be good at anything else. Hey, hold on a second, though. Hold on. Can I throw something out here, though? I did watch him beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game, though.
Just let it go. Jesus Christ. How long ago was that? Jesus.
I don't know. It doesn't matter when it was.
Hey, when's the last time the Dolphins won a Super Bowl?
I'm not that
exactly.
old.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm not that old.
My thing is that Tebow didn't want to switch positions, and that was the big thing in football. He wasn't going to be a quarterback.
So right? He switched fucking sports?
Yeah.
That was it. So I don't want to switch positions. Matter of fact, I'll just switch fucking sports.
Isn't that kind of like a woman saying, I don't want to do doggy style anymore, so I'm just going to become a lesbian? Like,
that's yeah, that's a good analogy. That's pretty much it.
Hold on a second. I'm so good. Or I'm just such a pompous enough asshole that I will not go to tight end or fullback or something that I might be able to do well at, make money in a sport that I've been playing for a while. Instead, I'm going to switch fucking sports and play something I haven't done since – well, hold on. I was going to say since the first time I got laid, but –
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Tebow's ever got laid, right? That's what they say.
I don't know. He's got a pretty hot girlfriend.
Is Jesus holding 72 virgins? That's sports with Douchebag Chad. The show where we talk about tunes, because that's what I'm comfortable talking about. It's band of the week. Matt, who is your band of the week? What are you jamming in the truck, in the giant ass truck that takes up the entire parking lot outside this studio? I'm pretty sure we could fit my fucking car in the back of your
fucking
truck.
I wouldn't doubt it. Well, I told my wife, if you're moving me to Kentucky, I'm buying a big truck.
Dear God, you fit in, don't you?
I want a redneck truck.
Yeah, you live out in the country, too, so you
I know. I fit right in.
You at least are blending in. I appreciate that the East Coast Pittsburgh motherfucker has figured out the key to making it happen in Kentucky is a giant-ass truck.
A friend of mine had...
How often do you think people drive by you in traffic and are like... God damn, how small is that guy's penis?
Maybe. But you know what else they say? Fuck, I got to get out of his way.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've seen you maneuver that thing in a parking lot. I know.
Dude, it's good. There was a party. My friend's dad had a party, and he called it Steers and Beers.
Mm-hmm.
So it was everything that they shot, and they got a couple kegs, right? So there was elk, deer, like moose. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. And I pulled up, and it was the entire – he's got a big house, right? His entire parking lot was all pickup trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
it's
like,
called Steers and Beers. My Nissan Sentra, not allowed. Not allowed to go near that guy.
No, I can't even
get, like, in the same county.
They will kick you out if you have a Nissan Sentra.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, so what's the music in the truck right
now? I'm not embarrassed about what I'm listening to.
Why? There's no reason to be embarrassed.
But you're going to make fun of me.
I'm not going to make fun of
you. Yes, you are.
I'm not going to make fun of you.
I'm listening to Donny Iris right now, and I'm rocking Donny Iris out.
Okay, I might make fun of you a little bit.
Yeah. You know why you make fun of me? Because Donny Iris is from Pittsburgh. That's why.
Oh, my God. Is that why you're listening to Donny Iris?
No, I'm in this mood. I wanted to hear Aaliyah, and I just can't stop.
Give us some background on Donny Iris for those listening at home who have no idea who that guy is.
Donny Iris has had tons of songs. Aaliyah. I can't sing right now. But
yeah, you're killing it.
Yeah, I'm just racking it.
Uh-huh.
But there's Aaliyah, Do You Compute, Agnes. Like,
give us an era here. Let's educate folks on Donny Iris.
You're looking at late 70s, early 80s.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's old school.
Music was at its heyday.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Tell me the rock bands weren't better then than they are now.
Oh, stop this. How old are you?
It doesn't matter how old I am. I'm not telling you my
I know
real
you're
age.
Not old. What I'm saying is, like, don't sound like you're old.
Come on. You name. Give me one rock band right now that can compete with Led Zeppelin.
Nickelback. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted someone's fucking brain to explode for a second.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like just for that split second where they thought it was. Have you ever seen? You've seen that College Humor video where they do look at this photograph, but it's look at this Instagram. That's now what I think of every time I think of Nickelback. I think of this parody video that it just makes
me happy.
I saw
the one where he just does look at his graph, and there's a graph in the picture frame. It's just a random graph, like a pie chart.
Yeah. A rock band that's better than Led Zeppelin. Now, here's the problem. This is a...
No, you can name a lot of rock bands that are on par with Led Zeppelin, but I'm saying they're all old school.
They're just...
Who's left, man? The Foo Fighters? That's about it.
Music is a weird thing because it runs in circles and it ebbs and flows and there's different eras. So you can't compare rock from 2016 to rock from 1976.
But why can't you?
Because they're just different animals.
I was a music major when I first started school, by the way.
Different. Can you please tell the audience what your instrument of choice was when you were a music major?
I was a classical trumpet performance major.
Oh my God!
I was, yeah. I wanted to play in a symphony. That
are
was
there
my goal.
Pictures of this?
Yes.
Like you holding your trumpet? Do you have to when you do that? Do you actually go and take headshots with your trumpet?
Yeah. My senior picture for high school was on my heart.
Yeah! Now mine is with a guitar, and I look like a D-bag.
Yeah.
But at least it's a guitar.
Mine was a trumpet.
Yours was a trumpet. So, do you still like? Can you do the trumpet?
Oh yeah, I can still
can
play.
We rock out? Can you like? Can we start a ska band?
What do you hear, Bach?
Wait, you don't know any real big fish or Skank and Pickle?
I was in a ska band in college.
Oh my God! Can I guess the name of your ska band?
I fuck if I remember it.
Was it Skalaluya?
You know, it's not the truth with ska bands. They're all like bim skulla bim. You know what I mean? Skalaluya. Like the pie tasters are like, the what? Yeah, that's not a ska band.
Mr. Bungle. did you like ska? Now, as a guy that liked rock and played the trumpet, were you into ska?
Yeah, I like ska because they had a horn section. I thought that was cool.
Oh, dude. I love horns when utilized well in rock.
Yeah,
and
well, yeah.
I early in my days in radio.
Like Hall & Oates?
I remember, oh, yeah. I remember this chick calling me and saying, hey, can you play the greatest Foreigner song ever recorded? And I was like, what's that? And she said, Urgent, because of the horns.
Well, yeah.
And that's always struck with me. Urgent is one of the best Foreigner songs.
Well, George Thorogood has a horn in every one of his songs.
And you're a huge George Thorogood fan. Which is like, lots of people like George Thorogood and especially his hits. But the fact that there's like, I think you're the only person that like loves George Thorogood. Besides like maybe one of his ex-wives.
Yeah, I know, all 12 of them.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I went to see him like the last, I probably saw him twice in the last 2 years and his shows were packed. Like, it was not just me there. I mean, there was I saw him at Stagecoach year before last, and it was awesome. I mean, there was just a sea of people waiting to see George Thorogood and probably hear Bad to the Bone, but
Do you struggle with that when you go see an artist like that you love that you know that most of the audience knows the hits? Like, I'm a giant Counting Crows favorite band of all time.
Oh, they're great live.
And they're one of the greatest live bands still actively playing. And a lot of people don't know that because they know Mr. Jones, Long December,
right?
Maybe Colorblind,
okay.
Around Here, Ranking, right? That's
right.
It.
Those are, I mean, arguably, those are the though, I mean, four that's the big ones.
Those are the four big ones.
Yeah.
And so I would get so frustrated. I used to tell the story a lot, but I get so frustrated in high school because I would meet a really hot girl at a party, and the only thing I know how to talk about is music. So I'd be like, hey, Millie, what bands you like? And she'd be like, I really like the Counting Crows. And I'm like, oh, my God, me too. And then she would say...
Are you that awkward with it? You're like,
yeah, of course, dude. Hello, have you met me? So, and then she would say that she loves Colorblind because it was in Cruel Intentions.
The Verve in quote Cruel Intentions,
right?
Too, wasn't it?
Well, that's, and people say like the Verve, and that's all I mean is Bittersweet Symphony. And you listen to the rest of the Verve, they had like one other good song on Urban Hymns.
Yeah,
was,
they
like,
stink.
Yeah, like, they
that's
were
a good,
good
song, but they stink.
Yeah, that there was one other song on Urban Hymns that I'll have to look up that was great, but most of so I always that irritates me when you like when you're a fan of a band known for a couple of big songs and then people pretend to be fans of those bands. Like, buy their tickets, that's fine. But like when you pretend to be like, no, really like that band, and you like clearly have only listened to the first record.
Okay, but if you're a big fan, I'll come at you with this. If you're a big fan of let's say Thorogood for example, right? Now you only went there to go see you just want to hear Bad to the Bone, right? But now if you were a major fan, and would you be disappointed if he didn't play Bad to the Bone?
No, I usually, like, the Crows used to only play one or two of their hits.
See, I would be disappointed because I want to hear it. Although, like, I Drink Alone is one of my favorite songs that he's ever done. But I want to hear Bad to the Bone at some point during that
but
show.
But, see, I can go see the Counting Crows and not hear Mr. Jones and be fine with it. I would really wish, now, they've really never cut out Long December because I think they consider it their biggest hit.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they've always played that and they typically always close with it. And that annoys me. Like, I would love to go to a show where they don't play Long December.
I don't know.
It's a great song, and it still holds up. But, I mean, I've seen the band 7 to 10 times. So, like, at this point, I don't need to see that anymore.
I've seen Jimmy Buffett 19 years in a row.
You are a Jimmy Buffett fan.
I'm a Parrothead, man.
Oh my God! Yes. Now that's a whole different thing. Like that's a whole subculture. Also,
yeah, oh yeah,
it's kind of East Coasty too, right?
It's very East Coasty. Yeah.
And it also screams, "I'm white. I'm so white."
So what? It's a fun show. Who cares?
I'm a white guy.
There's plenty of black people that go to.
That's
Jimmy
not
Buffett's
true.
Home. Yes, there are.
That's absolutely not true.
His name is Alan.
And he's 300 pounds. There's plenty of him. I didn't say there were plenty of people. I said there were plenty of flesh.
I've met a Jorge at a Jimmy Buffett show.
Oh, you
once.
Have not. No, there are right, no right. Non-white people at Jimmy Buffett shows.
Yes, there are.
No.
Yes, they're working
not
at concessions.
True.
I am.
They're working in concessions.
You're right. There's not a lot of mixed race people that go to a Jimmy Buffett show.
Oh my God!
On the Converse, when I was selling. Oh God, one of the craziest times. I was selling phones. We did this. What you call it, like a remote, I guess, if you will. I think it was like Warped Tour or something like that. But Disturbed was playing.
Yeah.
Like
it would not have been Warped Tour. That was probably Mayhem Fest.
Maybe Mayhem. I don't.
I'm a big defender of Warped Tour, so you can't put Disturbed on Warped Tour.
Oh, dude, I was scared for my life. And I'm in the back trying to sell like prepaid cell phones, and there's dudes coming up to me with like bloody noses, black eyes, and they're like, "Give me a phone." I'm like, "Here, just take it. Just get me out of here, bro."
I was at an AFI show one time, and I like their show was amazing. But this guy just comes running out of the pit, and just we were kind of on the edges of everything, and he just vomits right in front of us, and then looks up, smiles, and then runs back in.
Really?
I was like, that's intense, man.
Yeah, that's intense.
That's a different level of dedication.
I don't know. Here's my thing. When it comes to rock now and rock then, the reason why I say it's better is just because I think it was more...
It was original. It was the first time it had been done. Everything's deriving something from something else now. I mean, I will agree with that.
Well, do you think people... Like, when Jimi Hendrix played, do you think people can play and can have the influence that he had on people now as he did?
Well, no, but that was a timing thing.
Yeah, but I mean, Jimi Hendrix is arguably one of the best guitar players ever.
By timing, though, like there's nothing that says that he had to pave the way. It's like
saying he
is an amazing guitar player, but it's the same reason like a lot of people walk down the Oregon Trail, but the guy who like was the first person to like get people to start going that way and settling the West, like that person's the person you remember because they paved the way for it to happen.
Okay. I thought Green Day's first album, Dookie,
yeah,
was awesome.
Actually, like their third record, but yeah,
see,
sure.
Everything after Dookie for me was shit. I didn't like any of it. I didn't like American Idiot. I thought that was, I just didn't like it. I don't know if my taste of music was changing at
right,
that point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because like I was getting older, maybe I liked other things, but like maybe just grow. I take it back to Pittsburgh, right? Maybe growing up in Pittsburgh, like it's such a classic rock town. Like it's kind of stuck musically in like the 70s, 80s, 60s, and like I mean, it fights for you know. I mean, hip hop's always big, you know. But like I mean, I don't know. Like when I would just, I don't know. When it comes to like old school rock and roll, man, like the Rolling Stones are okay. I like 80s rock too. I like Rat. I like Poison. You know, I mean, I like Def Leppard, Van Halen.
Sure.
You know, Kiss. I'm a big Kiss fan. Like, I just don't know if any bands anymore have the impact on a show or impact on music that these guys had.
Well,
I mean, I saw
there's
the
a couple
Foo Fighters,
reasons
and they're
for that,
incredible.
Though. One of them is gatekeepers. There are fewer gatekeepers now. There's more out there. There's because of technology. There's easier access to hear your friend's band in Pittsburgh. You know, at will than there used to be, and for your friend band in Pittsburgh to get their stuff out to other people. So there's just a proliferation of other people trying it, all influenced by the people that were let through by the original gatekeepers and became the pioneers of that trail.
But don't you think that's hurting a little bit?
It waters things down.
I think it's hurting the arts in general. You could take comedy and say the exact same thing about stand-up.
Okay, I'm interested in that.
What do
you mean?
Well, okay, for example, like I used to think, and oh, God, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I used to think stand-up was about talent, you know? I mean, funny was funny. You had to be funny to make it. And now you can have some dude who has 8 million hits on YouTube who doesn't even have 5 minutes, and all of a sudden he's selling out shows across the country because he's got 8 million hits and people are going to come see him because he can put asses in the seats. But he doesn't have 5 or 10 minutes to even make a joke or tell a joke or know how to tell a joke. And I think music has kind of the same thing. I think arts in general. I don't know if it's just the fact that maybe social media has had an impact on that. I don't know. Like, I mean, social media is good for some things and horrible for some things. You know what I mean? I think attention span has a lot to do with it. You know, it used to be telling stories about, you know, your walk to the park, or, you know what I mean? Or tell a story about, you know, Larry Miller, the great Larry Miller, a comic, right? He did 25 minutes on James Bond and how two cigarettes can turn into skis. You know what I mean? And it's fantastic. And then you got a guy be like, you know, oh, my dick hurts. And, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard. And, you know, I don't know. And this is just my opinion. You know, I'm not taking anything away from them because they found an outlet to do it. And that's great. You know, you found an outlet to make it work. And, you know, some of us or other people are just doing their own outlet and how they think it's supposed to be.
Well, there's you either are into, in music and or comedy, you are either driven by, as a consumer of it, by your own sense of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Or by your own sense of connection and or what you, like, the level of science that you're putting into the art from a way of consuming it.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
So, like, you're looking at things in the way that they're constructed and in ideas and the creativity behind something because you're looking at it like an architect looks at building a bridge, right?
Right.
But a lot of people are just looking at it as a way to get across the river.
Yeah, but there's something to be said about artfully getting across the river, isn't there?
Absolutely. But at the end of the day,
you're still across the river.
There's a lot of people that just cross the river.
I get it. But I mean, like, when, I don't know, like.
And there's definitely times you've crossed the river and not paid attention.
Oh, absolutely.
To what you're driving.
I mean, like, I have guilty pleasures. I think Demi Lovato is awesome.
But like, but I go back to the point that I don't think you have to feel guilty about any of that shit. Because if it inspires some sort of emotion in you, then let it do that.
I mean, I guess. I don't know, man. I guess I'm old school in that way. I mean, like,
do you feel like there's, like, a talent requirement for you to acknowledge it? Like, you have to say, you have to feel good about the amount of work that was put into it? The craftsmanship?
Okay, I'll put it to you this way. When I was playing horn, and when I mean, it was cutthroat. I know.
Right? When I was playing horn.
I know, right? When I was a trumpet player.
Back in the day when I was putting my lips on the brass penis.
Jesus, I'm not 80. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying is, like, you know, when you had to go on auditions, right, on things, you're on blind auditions, and it's a true blind audition sometimes, right? You're the dudes are in front of a curtain. So it doesn't matter how much schooling you have or how much technique you have. Talent is going to rise to the top, and talent is going to take over.
Yeah, but here's the thing with rock and roll. The reason rock and roll is the music of the people and the populace, and the reason that it inspires people of all walks is because it is the... It just because of that, because it is for the people. Rock took this idea of you have to be good at doing this a certain way and allowed and opened the gates and said you can do this in your own way. That's what rock and roll is. So when you talk about classical music, when you talk about jazz, there is proficiency involved. And when you're a horn player playing jazz, there's a certain level of proficiency and skill you have to have to A, be able to play at all, and B, to be able to improvise with other people. But the thing about rock and roll is that rock and roll, the idea was you take this canvas and you do whatever the fuck you want to do with it and own it as your own. And that's what gave birth to punk. That's what gave birth to different forms of rock. That's what eventually led to it being meshed together with things that created weird, you know.
But don't you think, though, that when bands were talking about, like, doing drugs, drinking, banging hookers, or doing whatever, and now all of a sudden you got guys like, I don't know, for example, like, they're talking about how their mom didn't like them and their dad abused them. I mean, like, it's like, you know, I don't want to hear that. I just want to, when I listen to rock and roll, I want to get taken away. I want to talk about how, you know, like.
But that goes back to my original point of using, as the consumer end, you're using it for nostalgic purposes. Because you just said,
yeah,
I want to nostalgize. I don't want to work through anything. So you have to decide how you're using that art. It's the same argument that can be used for stand-up and in most art, is there are certain people that want to come and hear you tell dick jokes, and they don't want to see a comic like Burr or Louis C.K. or somebody or Marin or Louis Black have structure or be dark or talk about things that really make people uncomfortable. They just want it to be funny.
Yeah, and
or
I
they
get
just
that,
want to see a face they recognize because it was on YouTube or on America's Got Talent or wherever the hell they saw it.
Well, maybe that's why art's so beautiful, right? It's subjective.
It's exactly why art's so beautiful. Yeah. But I always say my point all the time to people is when they talk about, well, so-and-so's just not talented. I'm like, who gives a fuck if they're talented or not? That's not the point, because you know who's talented? Opera singers. How many opera CDs do you own? Right?
That's true.
Like, when was the last time you went to the fucking opera, Matt? Like, nobody... Right. We don't do that.
But
I still
have appreciation for classical music. I still go to the symphony.
Four times in this conversation, I've had to be reminded that you were a horn player. Here's what I need to do, though. To truly appreciate you, and for you to appreciate me, I need to see you appreciating music. So when we leave here, I want you to get into that giant-ass truck of yours and turn up Donny Iris as loud as it'll go.
I will.
And
I
just
came
peel out of the parking lot. Like a damn redneck blaring Donny Iris.
This has been Soapbox Heroes. Created and produced by Matt Malkin and Brian Eichenberger. Theme song by Wild Sweet Orange. Thanks for listening.